We're looking at Colossians 2. If somebody finds it in the church Bibles, can they shout out what the page number is to give us all a hand? What have I put on there? Colossians 2:6-19. You're looking at next week, Rose. You're ahead of yourself. If you can write that preach for me as well, that'd be fabulous. But no, we're on Colossians 2:6-19. So has anybody found it in the church Bibles? 1183, page 1183. 1183. Paul's letter to the Colossians. Weird word, isn't it, Colossians? Fabulous. So when reading this, I found the title came into my mind of what is the secret to living a Christian life? Wouldn't we all want to know that? How easy would it be if we knew exactly what that was? So I'm going to try and unpack that this morning and try and give us some clues as to what is the secret of living a Christian life. The answer, of course, is in Scripture. And the answer is Hebrews 2:2. And it is keeping your eyes on Jesus, who leads us and makes our faith complete. When Nahar prayed earlier, I thought, will you stop talking, please, Nahar? You are preaching my preach. Literally, those prayers this morning was half of my preach. I'm thinking, okay, Lord, we're on the right track then. This is amazing, isn't it? God's all over us this today. Okay, so it says in Hebrews 2, keep your eyes on Jesus, who leads us and makes our faith complete. He endured the shame of being nailed to a cross because he knew that later on he would be glad he did. And now he is seated at the right hand of God's throne. Keeping your eyes on Jesus is the secret to a Christian life, folks. Keeping your eyes on Jesus. The world we live in, it's so easy to trip and stumble at any occasion. We all start off so well, filled with the excitement and the prospect of a new life. We've had baptisms today. Excitement and prospect of a new life. Baptism brings new life. And in that baptism, we believe that God offers us the gift of free eternal life. We believe that Jesus went to the cross and died in our place and rose from the dead. We believe that Jesus paid our debt in full, and we accept God's free gift of salvation. And then we go on. We set ourselves up to live a good, scripturally, biblically correct life, do we not? We read our Bibles. We try to follow the rules, the biblical rules. But then we get led astray. We get led astray by the world that we live in, because we live in a world that tells us that we cannot live a true Christian life without adding in some of the world's culture, some of the world's belief structure, some politics, a couple of extra laws, things like that. And then we find ourselves living a hybrid Christian life with one foot in the Bible and the other in the world, telling the world that we're Christians, but living a life of perverted biblical truth. We allow our faith to be watered down by so many things, by culture, by education, by industry, by commerce, by entertainment. What do you watch on telly? Oh my gosh, some of it's so wrong. Politics, other religious beliefs, so much more waters down our faith. We allow Satan into our lives to employ every device at his command to harass, tempt, and temper our Christian faith. We allow it. We openly allow him to do that. And in Paul's reading today, in the reading today from Paul's letter to the Colossians, Paul has concerns for the believers in Colossae about their Christian journey. Have a look at verse 6. It says, just as you received Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Paul is saying, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, then you must continue to follow him. You need to let your roots grow down deep into him and your lives be built on him. Like a tree whose roots go deep down into the earth, your roots of faith need to grow deep into Christ and draw your nourishment from him. Faith is nurtured by biblical truth. And this happens through lifelong learning. Faith is not a one-stop shop, baptized, job done. You are a lifelong learner. We have to study the scriptures. We have to spend time in prayer. We have to worship God. We have to listen to the Holy Spirit. Look what he's done today. Us listening to him, look what he's done today. And we have to learn to be more like Jesus by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the author of our faith. Paul's main reason for this letter is he's heard that those guys in Colossae are being led astray by false teaching. He writes, verse 8, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ." Those Christians at Colossae were in danger of being taken captive by false teaching, taken captive by the culture of the world that they were living in, taken captive by wrong philosophy, wrong teaching, false doctrine. The teaching that they were receiving from the people who were teaching them was trying to enhance Christianity with a hybrid of Jewish law practices and a bit of pagan folklore chucked in and anything else that they could throw in there. It was being watered down. Their faith was being watered down. None of it was relevant or necessary to the Christian faith. Because the truth is, you cannot add anything to the finished work of Jesus. It is finished. He has done it. There's nothing to add. Therefore, Paul is warning these believers not to allow themselves to be carried away by any teaching that isn't of Christ. In verse 8, Paul uses the word, now I'm not very good with this, blepete, B-L-E-P-E-T, which means keep a constant watch out, keep a watchful eye, be aware, or put those two words together, beware. Beware of false teaching. And the word he uses for captive is the same word used for kidnapping or to be kept captive as a slave. Do we want that? Do we want to be kept captive as a slave? Paul's warning to the Colossians is just as relevant today as it was when he wrote that letter. Today, right now, and every day, we are constantly in danger of being seduced by false teaching. We live in a spiritual war. It's so easy to be held captive by humanistic philosophy and human traditions. So easy for our faith to be watered down by culture, education, industry, commerce, entertainment, politics, other religious beliefs, and so much more. But as Christian believers, we have the choice to live in Christ. Or we have the choice to be taken captive by the culture of the world. We have the choice. The word philosophy is only used once in the New Testament in this passage. Now, Paul was a lover of wisdom and truth. He was not opposed to philosophy per se. He loved chewing the fat with the philosophers. He loved chatting stuff through with them. But the kind of philosophy Paul was concerned with in this context, he calls vain deceit, devoid of truth and futile. Filled with empty traditions, religious ceremonies, pagan cults. It's very much like the same warning he issued in Acts 20, where he says, "I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in amongst you and will not spare the flock." And also, where else have we heard that? Jesus says it in Matthew 7. He says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves." Whether you're using the analogy of kidnappers or wolves, it doesn't matter. False teaching really messes up your faith, guys. False teaching is wrong. It takes you captive and it robs you of your freedom in Christ. Paul says, "In Christ, you have been brought to fullness." That's all we need. Christ is all we need. We sing it, we pray it, we say it in the creed. Christ is all we need. All we need is a personal relationship with Christ. He is all sufficient. The Colossian false teachers were adding in their own philosophies to biblical truth, perverting it with their culture, their education, their commerce, their politics, all kinds of stuff. Perverting biblical truth when all you need is Christ. I found this message really powerful. He continues, "When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." Look what God did for you, he's saying. Look what Christ did for you. He died, he rose again, he forgave all your sins. His death and resurrection gives you the power to live Christian life. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, you have a new spiritual life, which is centered in Christ. You don't need anything else. Christ is all sufficient. Do we believe that? Our debt has been cancelled. Your debt has been cancelled. My debt has been cancelled. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's been nailed to the cross. It's gone. It's paid in full. However, there are people in this world who will pervert this truth. They will add their own spin. You know, there are spin doctors out there who will add their own spin to God's story, add in their political view, add in a bit of culture. Proverbs 12:26 says, "The righteous should choose their friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray." Be careful who you surround yourself with. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you believe when you listen to that. Don't get kidnapped by false teachers. Don't be taken captive by this false philosophy or wrong teaching or false doctrine. You need to have the wisdom to work out what teaching is of God and what is not. How do you do that? Holy Spirit, you pray. The Holy Spirit will tell you. You will know in your knower if it's right or wrong, and then you act on it. The culture we live in loves to tell us we're wrong. It seeks to pervert our thinking. It loves to water down God's word in the Bibles. It loves to add its own thoughts, politics, and agendas. And you don't have to look far to find those people. They are right on our doorstep, every moment of every day, in our workplaces, in our churches, in our local communities, in our families. Paul says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ." Even today, Christians are being taken captive by wrong philosophy. And once kidnapped, this teaching can hold you hostage for years, if not the rest of your life. That false teaching will stay with you until you ask the Holy Spirit to put it right. Non-biblical worldviews and ideas, they don't just sit in a book somewhere waiting for someone to read them. They constantly bombard us from the TV, from films, from music, from newspapers, magazines, books, academia, and even from the pulpit of some churches. And because we live in a selfish, fallen world, these ideas are seductive to us. You know, a little bit of, "Oh, that makes me feel good, maybe I'll think that." Doesn't say it in the Bible, but it makes me feel better, so yeah, maybe I'll just add that into my faith. Sometimes we don't even know that we're doing it. It just happens. It just becomes part of us, part of our understanding. But today, God is saying to you, do not engage with this so-called wisdom. It's hollow and empty. It's deceptive and misleading. It depends on human tradition and the basic principles of our world rather than biblical truth. It's not depending on Christ. In Scripture it says, and Scripture, the Bible, is best instructions for life before leaving earth. That's what it says, B-I-B-L-E, isn't it? Best instructions before leaving earth. B-I-B-L-E. They're all the instructions you need. It's there. In Scripture it says, keeping our eyes on Jesus, who makes us and leads us in our faith complete. God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. We have already been rescued. Why let ourselves be captured again? Do you want to keep your freedom in Christ? Then watch out for those wolves. Watch out for those false teachers. Listen. Use the Holy Spirit to help you discern what is good and what is God. Because he will tell you if you listen. Christ offers us a life of beautiful freedom. In Christ, we are free from condemnation, from guilt, from fear, from sin. But when you look to something else, you lose all of that. In one little thought, you lose it all. And you end up in slavery again. Jesus says in John 14, verses 15 to 17, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you, and he will be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Through your faith in Jesus, you receive the strength to live the Christian life through the Holy Spirit. It's not Father, Son, and the other one. There are three of them. We can't live without the Holy Spirit. God left the Holy Spirit. Jesus left the Holy Spirit for us for a reason. Pray for discernment. Ask the Holy Spirit to tell you when you're being led astray. Your Christian life began with Christ and must continue with Christ. All Jesus asks is that we love him and keep his commands. It says it in the Bible. Does your life feel hollow, empty, and unfulfilled? If so, it might be because you're being deceived by an empty philosophy. Because there's something in your life that is butting in and taking away a little bit of your faith. Are you living your life according to something other than Christ? Do you have another agenda? Is there something going on in your life that is taking away a bit of your faith? Are you following his commands? Or does the world have a say in your life? Because if the world is in your life, then your faith is being watered down and you are being robbed of your freedom. Banish that false teaching from your life and return to your first love. The Christian life is marked by faith in Christ, freedom in Christ, and fullness in Christ. Anything less is not authentic Christianity. So, what's the secret to living the Christian life? It's in the Bible. I've prayed it. The secret to living the Christian life is continuing to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who leads us and makes our faith complete. He endured the shame of being nailed to a cross because he knew that later on he would be glad he did, and now is seated at the right hand of God's throne. It's simple. The secret to living a Christian life is living in Christ. And that's the heart of Christianity. Do not be deceived. Do not forget your first love. Your first love was nailed to the cross for your sins. And now, through his death and resurrection, your sins are nailed to that cross. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your death on the cross. And in those nails, and what they meant for us. We thank you that you did that for us, for each individual, each one of us. You love us so much, and you wouldn't not have done it for each one of us. Lord, keep our eyes on you. Help us to keep our eyes on you. Holy Spirit, we pray now, come now on us. Fill us all afresh. Fill us with your knowledge. Fill us with your love. Fill us with your discernment. Where we have wandered off your path, Lord, bring us back. Where we have fallen victim to false teaching, mad philosophies, bad politics, stuff that's not in the Bible, Lord, please return us to you. Holy Spirit, come now and help us. Holy Spirit, fill us anew. Where we have tripped and stumbled and fallen, Lord, pick us up, dust us off, and open our eyes to your truth. Remind us daily to immerse ourselves in your scripture, in your words, to love you and to love your people and follow your commands, which is all you ask us to do. Spirit of God, fall on us now. We're sorry where we have put other stuff in front of you. We are sorry where we have listened to other stuff and believed it. We are sorry that we are allowing ourselves to be misled. Lord, we cry out to you. Heal our minds, heal our hearts, and heal our souls, and return each one of us to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, do we have a rousing song? Yes. Yes! Come on, Jeffrey. Get your fingers on the ivories. Let's stand up and worship the Lord. How great thou art.